capture the fuel that was in those tanks. How do they empty those tanks? And I'm guessing that emptying procedure and inspection and clean out and then reloading, I'll bet you you got almost a week of delay once you scrubbed for the second day. Is that roughly true, Paul? WS2N, K2IW?
No, I've seen them. They unload all the fuel, and then, like, almost 2 days later, then it's all loaded back up with the fuel again and ready to go. And they got those big round spherical tanks around the pad. Been there, like, forever. And as far as I know, they pump it down back into the tanks. So, I mean, they don't bend all the stuff off. So they must have some kind of a valve to do that. I mean, we're talking about big valves. So I think it's a 17-inch diameter pipe that feeds the tank from the, you know, from the tank to the shuttle. And I can't imagine the size that, you know, what size diameter pipe goes from the tanks to the shuttle itself. I don't know. It's probably 10-inch lines or something. I've seen pictures of it running along the service structure that goes to the shuttle. And I estimate it to be at least 10-12 inch pipe. Back to you, Dan.
Okay, you make it sound, Paul, like they take the fuel out in liquid form. Didn't boil it off. They take it out in liquid form. So you're saying the I don't think they've got a siphon, but I think they've got, so you think they've got a valve they open up on the side of the normal tube leading from the tank to the engine, and now you've got a key off to one side, and you connect a super hose there, and you pump the liquid back into that great big spherical tank that's on the pad. Is that what you think happens? I thought in the case of the Apollo 13, the problem with that particular command service module, the service module had a tank that had been reworked where they wanted to empty the oxygen out of it in a hurry, and they did it by turning on the heater full blast to boil away the oxygen, and that created damage because those contacts were rated for something like 14 volts, and they were feeding 28 volts through them to run that heater, and the contacts welded. So I think that was approximately the failure mechanism of Apollo 13. So in that case, they were emptying the tank by boiling it off. But you believe on the space shuttle, they take the fuel out on the second day of scrub by removing it in liquid form, is what I think you're saying. WS2N, K2RIW.
I'll have to look into it. I mean, I believe that that's the procedure that they use. I've heard them use the word pump it down and, you know, things like that. It's just, I would love to go visit there and see how they do it, for sure. I'll try to look into it, Dick. You're going to run out of time. Apollo 13, they weren't trying to get rid of any oxygen. They were flying to the moon. They had a system where they would stir, they called stirring the tank, so they would stir the oxygen, the liquid oxygen. They would, you know, a motor would come on and it would move the liquid around. They didn't want to leave it in one place all the time. And they would do this every now and then. And there was some kind of a electric heater in there that bobbled the short circuit. You know, something shorted, and that's what blew the tank up. But there was no system of, at the time, of unloading, pumping out oxygen, or trying to get rid of oxygen from a tank or anything. They were on the way to the moon.
Yes, and they did a stirring operation, and when they wanted more oxygen at a faster rate, they would turn on a heater. But that heater was supposed to be a pressure-sensitive heater, which was supposed to be able to turn itself off, and it wasn't able to turn itself off. The ground control had asked the astronaut to flip a switch that enabled that heater, and that heater was supposed to be able to turn itself off, and it was rapidly building up a pressure that wasn't being monitored, and because those contacts had been welded together by a previous procedure on the ground of emptying out that tank in a hurry. That was one of the explanations that was given at the time. Okay, we're almost out of time. My watch has got to be reset. And you guys, very few of you guys watch over-the-air broadcast television, digital television. I do. And an awful lot of the networks have not yet reset their electronic program guide. It's all today, almost every single network, the electronic program guides were running an hour wrong in what they indicated versus what the actual show was. This was TechNet number 1000. I should have this number memorized by now. 1580. Boy, that's a lot of them. We'll be back next week. We'll settle some of these issues. And we had that's a pretty wide subject tonight with reference to power generation, standby power for your house, and whether or not it is or is not illegal to backfeed your house. I do it, and I know that I'm taking a big chance. I know for the general public to do it, I think it's dangerous. But for people who are as smart as you and me, John, maybe we can get away with it. KC2WGB, K2RIW, you willing to backfeed your...
Repeater, time out.
Are you willing to backfeed your house, John? Go ahead, John.
Absolutely. I've done it many times. But look, even NASA has things blow up on them, so it doesn't seem to matter how smart you are. Just have to be careful. And glad everybody joined us on the net tonight. Thank everybody for the questions, and looking forward to next week. And everybody enjoy and have fun. And by the way, Dick, I did that experiment with the slotted line. I put the interfering material between the carriage transport and the opened output port of the slotted line, and you're right, the effect at minimum was about 4 or 5 times as much as was on the lead side, so absolutely correct.
Yeah, well, my thinking on that, John, was that your carriage is finding a null. That null is there because of standing wave ratio. Standing wave ratio is caused, you've got a forward signal going to the open circuit or short circuit, and a reflection. So the downrange of the carrier toward the open or short circuit, that's where the standing wave ratio is really being set up that you detect. And so any change of the phase angle of the signal from the signal generator up to the carrier almost doesn't matter. You're setting up a fixed standing wave which has a particular pattern between the carriage and the open circuit. That's where the pattern really is. And therefore putting a chunk of dielectric material in there is going to have a significant effect. And so my guess is you were sometimes sliding dielectric materials down there and you discovered that you lost the null, but you could probably refine the null by moving the carriage. Is that true, John? And how much carriage movement did you sense? Over to you, John. KQRIW.
Dick, it depended on the dielectric material. It varied. With the simple cardboard that was about, maybe an eighth of an inch thick, if I slid it back and forth on the line, I could see the different effect. It would break out of the low and it would start to rise tremendously, about 5 times what it would be normally. Then, if I moved the carriage, I could reset it. I'd have to move it approximately maybe 10 millimeters, 15 millimeters.
Yeah, that's a lot of motion. And if you were choosing, if you were sliding a chunk of fairly thick plastic, something that's got real density to it, you know, a thick layer of Teflon or plexiglass or Lucite, you know, some kind of fairly dense material that would just barely squeeze in between the flat plate and the center rod. Anything you squeeze down there, particularly if it had quite a bit of Z-axis dimension to it, you know, dimension along the rod, as you put a wide piece of material in there, I can see how you would get quite a bit of motion of the carriage. 10 millimeters, that's a full centimeter of motion. That's a lot of motion when you were using a wavelength that isn't that many millimeters. Okay, bye-bye for now, John, and see you down the log. And who would ever think this many years downrange with learning more things have slotted line. Over here, John. KGYW, clear for listening.
Oh, you're absolutely right. There's a lot to learn. Also, I did make a sample port to convert it into a directional coupler. I removed the carriage, and I placed that in and got some interesting things. I'll talk to you maybe during the week about that. And I understand what you're talking about now, because when I moved, once I got the coefficient of coupling correct and had it stable, no difference as I moved it up and down the line, Dick.
As you moved it along the length of the line, your directional coupler didn't see the standing wave, is what I think you're saying. Is that true, John?
Yes, I think what was happening, the algebraic sum is equal no matter where you put it. So that's why I don't think the coefficient of coupling changed. So the amount, it wasn't picking up peaks and valleys. It was just picking up the algebraic sum, I believe.
You said sum. If you're moving it along the length axis, let's call it the z-axis of the slotted line. If you're moving your directional coupler probe along the z-axis and you don't see a peak and valley, that means you've got reasonably good directivity of your coupler, and you're either looking at the forward signal or the reverse signal, but you're not seeing both. You have to see both to get a standing wave. That probe on the normal carriage is a non-directional probe. It sums together some of the forward signal that it's sampling and some of the reverse signal that it's sampling, and when you put the two together, in some places they're co-phase, and you see a peak, in some places they're antiphase, and you see a valley or a null. So the probe creates the mixing of the forward and the reverse signal. On the slotted line, they do not mix. To some degree, you could say there is no standing wave there until you put the probe there. You got to be careful now. We're getting close to that point where if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there, does it make a sound? Oh, you jump. K2LAW.
Oh, yeah, definitely. There is no sound when a tree falls when nobody's there. Absolutely. All right, Dick. We'll talk later on in the week. But fun as usual. You enjoy. Good night, Paul. Have fun. KC2WGB.
And if you're by yourself, you have to yell out Timber.
Yeah, the sad case, Joe, is that I've met a couple of very enthusiastic engineers told me that if no one is there, there is no sound when the tree falls in the forest. And I would ask them, hey, if you make a tape recording, is there now a sound? And the answer was no. There's only a sound when you play back the tape recording into a human ear. The word sound to them is something that a human being perceives, and there is no sound without a human being. It's an interesting philosophy. There's a very small percentage of people who literally believe that. I bet you're not one of them, Joe. How about you, Joe? KQIW.
And yeah, the moon's only there when you look at it.
I've never heard that one in my life, ever. But that could only come from a scientist.
Well, I wouldn't call him a pure scientist, this particular guy. He was a fairly religious guy, and therefore a little bit unusual compared to the normal people that I meet. And that was his belief. His definition of the word sound is that which is perceived by a human being. You and I say a sound is a vibration in air. And whether the human being is there or not, you're still getting that vibration in air. That's what the sound is. And my tape recorder can record it even if I'm not there. To me, it's a sound. But this guy argued me till the cows come home, and I had to agree to disagree. We had to back away from that one. There was no moving him on that. It was only a sound when the human being perceived it. Over to you, Joe.
I hope he wasn't designing any critical elements.
So when a jet plane breaks a sound barrier, then something shakes your house, but it's not sound because you didn't hear it, because you weren't there.
Yeah, in the worst case, it can break your window, but it's still not a sound if a human being didn't hear the window being broken there, John. Of course, this is crazy, but he really believed that.
Dead.
Can't make this stuff up. Well, I'll be back next week with another question. It will be on the antennas.
Glad to hear it, Joe. See you down the log. Bye-bye for now.
Be kind to one another.
Absolutely. It's only a hobby, guys. Good night, Joe. Good night, Dick.
You better enjoy the process. You're not going to get out of this one alive.
I'm taking my money with me.
You too?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, the people you would have left it to, they don't deserve it. They didn't work for it.
They'd only spend it on silly stuff. Not like me.
Did you see 60 Minutes tonight?
No, I did not.
There's probably a website you can go to where you can play it back. That heroin situation in Ohio. My goodness, is that an eye-opener. There are places in Ohio where heroin addiction is really out of control.
Wow, and Kasich is bragging about his state there, how he's... I never heard of that. I'll have to chase that down. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's a sad situation. And I've been hearing hints of that. There were places out on eastern Long Island, very rural area by my standards, and people were telling me there's a lot of drug problems among the youth out there. And I used to think that drug problems are only something that happens in the metropolitan area. I didn't think it would be that bad in a rural area. But this rural, somewhat rural area of Ohio, in fact, I think they said something like eight teenagers per day are dying in the state of Ohio because of heroin overdose.
Yeah. Across the country, because the price of heroin has dropped so much, Dick, it's become the drugs. You know, it used to only be the poor and the, you know, the different.
We've been turned off, Paul. Bye-bye for now.
Disconnected.
Auto connecting.
Node number 9126.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link active.
Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link clear.
Auto connecting.
Node number 9126.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link active.
Kilo Golf 2 Radio Yankee listening on 85.
Thank you.
Radio. Repeater. System.
Mobile.
repeater.
Giants came back from a 14-point deficit in the last couple of minutes.
Well, hence me being mobile. That's the way it is. That's what it's all about with sports, you know? It is what it is.
And then the Jets in, was it opening series? I think it was. Lost Patrick to a thumb ligament of his non-throwing hand, but he could not grip the ball well enough. So Smith came in, and there went the game.
Yeah, well, it's just, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing, that's what it is. But nothing we could do about it. You and I are just unwilling participants and casual observers.
I wouldn't say unwilling. Watch that game of your own free will. I watched the two football games of my own free will.
Free will is overrated.
Yes, it's really very costly.
Free willy now, that's something completely different.
Is that like a wet willy?
Like cast your willy?
So, what else is new? Stevie were running all over the place yesterday.
Oh no. Me and the Skivmeister just got together for a little while, hanging out, doing some stuff. I had some stuff to give him. I was busy winterizing the boat, changing the lower unit oil, some other stuff when he came by.
Okay. So are you going, has the driveway been sealed or is that this week?
We're finalizing some color issues with the stoop. He's going to change the stain that he used on the perimeter of the stoop to more suit Sheil Must Be Feared and Obeyed, her color palette, and then we'll get sealed. But I gave everything a lovely wash down, because I figured it was going to happen on Sunday, but it didn't. So I broke out stuff and washed and cleaned and scrubbed the driveway. And at some point, I think I even wound up running around. Was it Saturday? I went out and I bought a couple of those polyethylene boot trays. You know, you put them in the house when you come in with the snow and mud and stuff on your boots. You leave your boots in the tray, and I stuck those under one of the vehicles that has the once in a blue moon occasional drip coming from underneath it, and I had an extra one left over. I wound up putting it under the outboard when I backed the boat into its position, and I was very happy that I did that because some exhaust drippings made their way out of it.
Yes, you don't want to stain fresh concrete.
Oh, and these things are, you know, quick and easy. Just when you park it or whatever, you put it where it's going to be, just slide them under it and to their preordained positions, and no drip spots, runs, or errors, or anything. You know, no spots on the driveway.
That's one of the advantages of blacktop. It just absorbs that stuff.
Actually, no. Stuff like oil or gasoline or other things actually dissolves the asphalt material, the tar. So it doesn't just absorb it. It will stain it and it will actually soften it.
But if you do what you're supposed to once a year or once every other year, put a sealer on it, isn't that supposed to fix that?
because gasoline and motor oil and things like that will dissolve the tar. The sealer is just to keep water from permeating through any little cracks or fissures that may present themselves and creating larger cracks, fissures, and or potholes in your own driveway. Not to prevent or keep things, yeah, it'll freshen up the surface, but the damage that's done from leaking oil can actually be measured.
Okay. Never had a blacktop driveway and a car that leaked in the sink.
I'm talking about, like, leaking, like, you know, drip, 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 drip. That's more for the Toyota. That's why the Toyota stays out on the street. But, no, it's like the Jeep probably has a valve cover gasket on the V8 that's ready to be changed. So that turns around and can give you one of those once in a blue moon drips, depending upon how long the engine's been running and whatnot and what you've been doing. And then it had an occasional drip of antifreeze also coming from, I don't think it's a water pump seal. I have a feeling it's a micro pinhole in the top of the radiator up in the top of the tank. So those were the only two things that the Jeep needed it for, just to keep those two things off of the driveway. And I'm in the four laner and I'm kind of rolling along. N2 BPN Mobile.
N2 ZDB Mobile at the top of the spiral staircase. I spoke with my main contractor. He's going to start in a week or so. Everything on order. Get there. I really kept him waiting all finances.
The week's forecast is they're looking at nice temperatures and no threat of rain, so that's good. I also did some clearing out of the perimeter along the fence to my neighbor. There, I spoke to the paving guy. He's going to come by with about 4 yards of the recycled concrete material, or what they call it, RCM, ACM, and he's going to, it's just like concrete, ground up concrete, and he's going to fill in that perimeter where the elevation change and stuff was, and where they dug up for the forms and stuff like that, so that'll all just go in there, and then I won't have to worry about that little 6-inch wide strip of grass that's not mine.
If it's a 6-inch strip of grass that's not yours, why are you touching it?
Well, let's see. When my neighbor put up his 6-foot-high PVC fence that goes from the front face of his house towards his backyard, he put that 4 inches inside of his property. Then when he put up his picket fence that goes from that fence all the way to the sidewalk to in front of the house, he moved it in another 4 inches onto his property. So my property line, my fence, and the edge of my driveway all line up. It's his stuff that increased. His gardeners and all of his lawn care guys never touched anything on my side of the fence on his property. So now I'm just making it so that there won't be anything on my side of his property line. You know, that piece. And I'm doing it so that there can be no dispute as to I've done anything permanent. By putting this stuff down, it's not permanent and it will not allow anything to grow in it.
Okay. I realize, of course, if it lasts 7 years, you can annex that property to yours since you have improved the heap of it.
I know that in the zoning book, I remember years ago reading that there is something about fences and stuff like that. But I think it's just he had no clue how to do half of the jobs that he was doing, and he just, because he couldn't join all these different types of fences to each other, he just started inside the fence post of each fence as he kept changing fences instead of joining them up to the existing post, which is why they kept moving in further and further into his property. Hello? 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 Hey, Curly Head Wonder.
This is the Cape Canadian. Wait a moment. That's what the jet stated yesterday. Defense. Even if it was 4 inches. Defense.
Yeah, we were talking about all three debacles.
Anyway.
Anyway.
You're gonna put Article 3, is it? Article 2?
Who's Article? What is this? What are we, filing paperwork? KZ 300 jet ski sitting there
jet ski last year?
Kramer's always looking for something. He's looking for the next big tag sale. I can help truck drive faster. This guy is like dragging his feet over here. Go, Skeevy, and to PPN.
I'm here. Looking at fauna and flora.
I thought maybe you were like, you know, kissing babies and shaking hands and handing out leaflets in Roosevelt Field.
Nah. Tomorrow's a big day. Big day. Which dentist are you going to vote for?
Other than judges and reps, the only big race is the DA, right?
Don't you have a Nassau County executive?
The county exec is running this year? I haven't heard anything about that.
Yeah, isn't Dennis Dunn up for re-election? Some kid who just graduated MacArthur High School is running against him?
Sorry, we doubled. I just saw a commercial. I thought it said against Mangano, but maybe I was wrong. Dean Hart?
Try soon first. I'm going sub-mariner. Tuesday to be clear.
Thank God that guy's gone.
What a bummer.
I think there's a couple other races going on, different districts. I think Dennis Dunn is up for re-election, too. Entertaining when the local yokels, you know, get involved. I did tell you we went back into the city Friday night to meet up with my niece, my two nieces.
Managed to get some sack, though, about, I don't know, 3 hours worth. But my head's spinning like Linda Blair.
Good double. Good double. I doubled with you.
All right, go ahead.
And obviously you also stayed awake. I was just saying that I did tell you that we had gone back into the city on Friday night to meet up with my nieces, right?
No, you didn't.
To a glorious dinner at a Vietnamese restaurant on 2nd Avenue. Had a scrumptious meal. Then came back, hung out, and drove home. Made it home before the game was over on Friday night.
All right, now we can all rest. Rest and watch football and hockey. Because I can't stand pro basketball.
Yeah, hockey. Well, let's see, what's today? Today's the 2nd? Well, Sonny Boy should be in about a little under 3 weeks. 2.5 weeks he should be in.
Cookie.
So, it'll be a happy household. My daughter will be home for Thanksgiving. My son will be home for Thanksgiving. My God, I'll have to buy a case of toilet paper.
Nice suitcase van. Gary, any other excitement after I left? Any disputes with the neighbors?
No, not at all. Not at all. I flushed the lower unit a few times, and then I bottom filled it and expelled as much as I could out from the fill. And then I closed everything up and put it back in its little niche in the back. And I got smart. I have to applaud myself and pat myself on the back. Once I had it back in its spot, I'm like, you know what? Let me take another drip pan and just stick it under the
outboard in case, you know, anything makes its way out and drips. And lo and behold, the all the exhaust and stuff cleared out and dripped down and made quite a nice, big, large, half-dollar size drop in the pan. So I was glad I had the pan down there.
I have like a ceramic one they gave out a couple of years ago.
out for disposal.
Sounds like a good way to get rid of a body.
Yeah, first you put them in the 55-gallon drum, and then you get the overpack drum, which is a 75-gallon drum that the 55 fits into. So it gives you that double wall.
There's a lot of meth flags hanging from people's houses here and by the house that Gary built.
I'll do that when I get home. You know, just gotta take it, roll it up, and stick it back in the garage.
There's always next year.
Very true, very true. So I went over all the stuff for HFW for next Saturday. That's why I had that Wojun fired up. So that I could get it charged up and make sure it had all the right frequencies programmed into it. I didn't notice you had a post assignment, so should you be able to make it, you can always come hang out with me at my post. Able to blast my music with no fear of kids.